Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And then Sir Bills. Invincibles. That is what we could be calling ourselves this time next week. Two draws in 7 days, but hey, we're still unbeaten and there's just one more game to go. Can we do it? Yes, we can. I'm your host, John McInally, as ever on Falkirk Daft. I'm joined by the ginger god of pod, the one man bad in the main stand, a lover of the prawn sandwiches, Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. You good?
I am good. If you're watching the YouTube version, you will see that I am in the studio, the radio studio. So I've got all the buttons in front of me again, Ross. I actually can play off all the jingles and everything.
I was just about to say, yeah, I take it you've got all your noises and things that...
All the comedy effects and everything I can do. There we go, got a bit, bit of canned laughter there. Anytime you do a bad joke.
Perfect.
Or... tumbleweed. Yeah.
Keep those on.
I don't know why we've got the... It's Christmas! These are just buttons.
Oh, God, you wouldn't belong getting frostbite.
It's all here.
Now, would you like me to be the cat?
Yep, there we go. That's what happens.
The hours must just fly by at your work, eh?
I know, absolutely. You were down at Arran yesterday, Ross. A long day for you. It was a 9 o'clock start from Elliot's, wasn't it?
It was. Two buses left the Graham Hotel yesterday morning. And I think, what time did we get there? Just before 11 or just after? It couldn't have been much after 11. We headed to the shed. Not everyone did that. A huge chunk of Bairns fans went into the social club, which looks like a cracker of a social club at Annan, actually. We went into a pub called the Shed in the town, which decent sports bar, pool tables on the go. Bit of football on the TV. There was darts, there was snooker. And at one point, as I was walking through the bar, there was porn on one of the TVs, which was the most you heard me. It was the most random thing I have ever seen in a pub. There was porn on one of the TVs. And you will never guess who it was sitting right underneath the TV. Our mutual friend, Mr. Stevie Beveridge.
Oh my God. I'm assuming someone had cast from their phone onto
the telly. No idea.
Because you wouldn't expect, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, someone to be wiring straight into Pornhub on the pub television.
Exactly. What's Pornhub?
Oh, it's Liverpool. Good cover, mate. Good cover. I like that. That's a very strange thing to be doing. There's Liverpool versus West Ham. Oh, and there's a fake taxi on the other channel there. Unbelievable. Oh, well. I think we'll be heading to the shed if we're ever back at Gala Blank again then. Thanks for the tip, Ross.
I think so. So if we ever get drawn, if we ever get drawn in the cup, we know where we're going.
Yep. I was at rugby, it was at Murrayfield yesterday, and congratulations to, FK is absolutely flying at the moment. Obviously, we've won the league, Steny have won the league, and also shout out to Falkirk RFC, who won the National Cup yesterday at Murrayfield after beating Lass Wade. And it was, 34-21, the final score in that. And it was a great game of rugby, and well done to
all the boys at Falkirk RFC, fantastic. And to do it on Murrayfield, you know, like, I thought, like, they will be blowing out their arse because Murrayfield is a big, big pitch compared to what they used to play in Falkirk. But they got through it and they lifted the cup in the end. Brilliant. Amazing. Loads of supporters out from Falkirk as well. That's, you know, I met actually Brian Flynn from behind the wall as well. Big Falkirk supporter is Brian. He also does his bit for the RFC team as well. So he was at the game as well. So I was chatting away to him as well. But no, it was great. Great day out of the rugby yesterday. I know it's not for everyone, you know, but, you know, we've got to support our local teams, so it was great.
No, you're absolutely right, John. It's a good shout out, and there's no better stage for rugby than Murrayfield. So, no, huge congratulations to them. I also, just as we're talking about Falkirk teams doing well, the Falkirk women are obviously on the verge of actually winning their league, because Steny,
that is next Sunday. Steny,
Steny got beat today, so it's within Falkirk's hands.
Really?
Yeah, right. So if they win the next two games, they can do it.
Look out on our socials, Ed, because that's going to be happening at Steny. I believe me and Ross are going to try and get down and watch the game as well, because it's just not far away from me. So look out for the socials, we'll give you details of the game, because it'd be great to get as many bairns down supporting the Falkirk women. On the day, and fingers crossed they can do it as well, win the championship. That would be absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've got to put a shout out as well, of course, to our sponsors. Another amazing thing that's happening in Falkirk is the Lava Cup, which happened at the stadium 25th of May. It's not far away now. That's less than a month now until that happens at the stadium. It's 11:30 for the opening ceremony. Kicks around about 12 o'clock, and all the funds are going to Strathcairn Hospice and the FDAMH, which is a mental health charity. So it's the guys, football fans and training, the boys that we're going to be playing in a game. So it's all the Falkirk boys, Dougie, Mark and Ian. You can get in touch if you want to get involved in the Falkirk football fans in training. All the links are below. And it's basically all about over 40s, getting fit, helping their mental well-being and also making friends along the way. And they're always in hospitality. We saw the boys at the recognition night the other day. There's a lot of fighting talk going on about this Falkirk Daft versus Falkirk football fans and training match. They were on the same table as Nicky Hogarth. So they were trying to make try to sign up Nicky for the sticks for them. I'm thinking we can go one better and get his dad.
That's a great shout. Yes, that is a very good shout.
I'm saying that we have hoping to have a celebrity in goals anyway, who's apparently calls himself a good goalkeeper.
And if not, we've got plan B.
We've got plan B. Mr. Ross Wayne has come out as a goalkeeper. He said to me this week, he said, I'm no bad in the sticks. I said, right, well, there you go. You can have a half each.
Yeah, that's it. My dad was a keeper, taught me all I know. There we go.
There you go. Ross the Cat Wayne could be in goals for the Falkirk Daft team come the 1st of June. We'll give you more details on that as we and when we get that sorted. And if you want to get involved in the Lava Cup, all details on the Facebook page. The link is in the bio below. And they're creating a pathway to change people's lives through football. Talked about the recognition night the other day on Tuesday night. Me and Ross got along to it. It was a cracking night, Ross.
Brilliant night, yeah. Just it's so great. Like we weren't shocked, were we? But the players were all really comfortable chatting to all the fans and the sponsors and stuff. And it was just brilliant to see. They let their hair down because they're training. They sort of had a day off.
Didn't they just?
Yeah, they had a day off from training the next day.
A couple of the players were a wee bit more away with it than us.
They were, to be fair, the players at our table were pretty sensible.
Leighton Bisland and Brad Mackay at our table chatting to both lovely guys. You know, I felt for Brad, obviously, as I sort of said, it must be a wee bit awkward for you, mate, having to be here. But he said, no, listen, I'm here to support my teammates. And fair play to Brad for, you know, showing up. Because he was meant to be training with Kelty that night and he'd said, listen, you know, it's not fair, and the people sponsored his top, so he got along. Fair play to Brad for showing up in the night. Really, really good guy, and as was Leighton as well. It was great to speak to Leighton.
It really was. Really, really nice lad. Hope he, obviously, his parent club, Dundee United, has just been promoted as well, so not sure what Leighton's future will be either at Falkirk or Dundee United, but fair play to him. And he's such a lovely, lovely, lovely guy, and he had a really good chat with us on the night, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I actually said to him, listen, Leighton, if there is problems at centre-half, can you go in there if needs be, if something that was to happen to Hendo? I predicted the future. I was like, oh, he said, aye, but I have played there before. And I went, that's good news. And then what happened yesterday, which we'll get into in just a bit. But yeah, all the Falkirk women there as well. Shout out to Super Rachel Peary, who picked up an award, as did Iona Bridges, picked up an award for them. And Cal Morrison for the men kind of swept home everything from goal to players' player and the manager's player of the season as well. And shout out to all the foundation guys as well. Lots of special recognition awards picked up by them as well. So great night all in all. And yeah, I had a bit of a sore head the other day. The thing about it is, my brother was there and he had a plus one and he took my dad, and my dad knows nothing about football. And he was like, he went to him pissed, like, he said, who are you? Where do you play? And he's a rugby man. He's like, right back. That sounds like a hard position. That sounds like a man's position to me. Just like, Jesus, dad. Oh my God. Yeah, so right. That was fun games. So yeah, good night had by all there. And what can we say? Lifetime Achievement Award to Miss Jean Snedden, an absolute legend. Jean! Yes. Picked the award, and it was brilliant to see Jean. She got all emotional. But I mean, if you don't know who Jean is, you're not a Falkirk supporter. She's been selling those 50-50 tickets. She's just done a million recently, and she's an absolute legend of the club. It was great to see Alex Totten there giving her an award. But brilliant. Well done, Jean. Well deserved. Other club news going out, the champion shirt, which has been rumoured. And there's been pictures on the Greaves Sports website, and it was like, oh, did anyone see this? And then they took the link down, and it is now, you can pick it up probably when you're listening to this podcast. It went on sale already. There's only 300 available, 100 online and 200 at the club shop. The club shop, I believe, is open 9:30 tomorrow, Ross, is it?
Yep, 9:30 Monday onwards, I think. They'll sell out fairly quickly.
There'll be a queue around the block for those tomorrow.
Yeah, I would think those will sell out really quickly. It's good that they're doing them online as well, because obviously, as we know, not everybody lives in Falkirk or works in Falkirk, so it's good that there's an opportunity there for Bairns fans who are not local to get a hands-on one too.
Yeah, I know. So are you going to go down and queue for it?
Do you know, I'm going to leave that. Like, I know I like my shirts and stuff, but I'm not going to do this one. It looks a belter. It really does. And I look forward to seeing either people wearing them, or I'm sure there'll be loads of people getting them framed and put up in their man caves or home bars and all this kind of stuff. So it'll be kind of cool to see that as well.
Yeah, I was very tempted, but I've already bought 3 strips this season, so I don't know if another one's going to go down well. Are you going to 9:30 in the morning? Yeah, I'm just going down to queue for the new Lord Falkirk talk. No, that's not happening. And if you are in the club shop and you've still got a ticket for the hour match, there's about 150 tickets left for the North Stand. Everything else sold out. 7,000 Bairns going to be there next Saturday for Trophy Day, which is going to be very exciting, especially if we can stay invincible. Just whisper it. This week as well, we have been out ahead of Behind the Wall, which I cannot believe is a week away. It's happening Friday. We'll delighted if you're coming along to see it. Remember, Retro Tops, that's what we're looking for on the night. And we can announce now that Cole is officially suspended for 2 matches. Cole is going to be our second guest. So we've got Tom Lang, Cole Donaldson, the Bruce Brothers, the 2 big centre-halves, big handsome Tom, big handsome Cole, coming along on the night. And it was great at the recognition tonight, Ross, because he sort of, Cole kind of made a beeline for us at the end and said, boys, I'm going to come on and do your podcast. I'm like, brilliant, Cole. Super. And I think in his words, was, I'm on my holidays.
He's on his holidays already, yeah.
He's on his holidays already. So he's going to go. I think him and Tom, from what I can gather, are making a pretty big night of it.
That was the chat, that was the rumour. So we'll see where Friday goes. But I think it's going to be a brilliant night. And the amount of people that are continuing to message us, or indeed even yesterday, people were saying, oh, listen, can you get me in? Can you get us tickets? It is completely sold out, and yeah, we just do not have any further tickets left, unfortunately.
I know. I wish we did. The thing is, finding the bigger venues and stuff like that, and it just wasn't possible. But yeah, 200 Bairns, we're going to squeeze into the top of Behind the Wall, and it's going to be some night in there. Really looking forward to that. So we'll see you down there. And on that night, we are going to be giving our Falkirk Daft Player of the Year and Goal of the Year shortlist, right? So this is what's going to happen, right? I've got, do you know what? I can use my effects here, right? This is good. This will work. Right, okay. So we've been asking you on our socials to nominate your goal and player of the year nominations. And we can go, first of all, to our goal of the season nominations. See what I'm done there?
I like it.
Right. And the goals of the year are as follows. Callum Morrison versus Montrose. Ethan Ross versus Fermartin. Carl Donaldson versus Alloa. And finally, our fourth goal of the season contender is Tom Lang versus Annan. Ross, will you give us our Player of the Year nominations?
I will. So, our Player of the Year nominations are, and least, by no means least, Callum Morrison. We also have Mr. Cole Donaldson. We have the main man in midfield, Mr. Brad Spencer. And our two-goal hero from Saturday, Mr. Liam Hendo Henderson.
Beautiful. So there you go. That is going to be our Player of the Year and Goal of the Season nominations, which we will award on our night behind the wall. And we'll obviously come back on the podcast, let you know who wins that. We'll be putting a vote out to see who wins those awards this week. And we've got nice trophies made up, which we'll give out on the night, hopefully, as well. So, I mean, you can look down that Player of the Year nomination and you go, look at all the players that missed out. Aidan Nesbitt, Calvin Miller, Tom Lang himself, any one of them could have been Player of the Year this season. We've said it's such a Leon McCann, Mr. Reliable, Finn Yates. I mean, they're all absolute superstars, but we could only put it down to four, and that's your four: Cal Morrison, Cole Donaldson, Brad Spencer, and Liam Henderson. They will be awarded on Friday night at Behind the Wall. Hopefully see you there. Right, okay, something a bit special on Falkirk Daft now. We spoke to these guys, was it the start of the season? We spoke to the directors, Kenny and Keith.
Yes, I think so. Either that or towards the end of that. No, it was the start of the season.
So we thought we'd catch up with our board of directors. And this week, it's not Kenny and Keith. It is Gordon and Keith. So please welcome to Folk Death, our directors.
Evening, gents.
Good evening. Nice to see you, boys.
Good
to speak to you. We're both down at Annan yesterday, both suffering as a result, I believe.
Yeah. Well, not because of the football.
Yeah, we had an impromptu board meeting because we'd had two draws in a row.
Exactly.
I know. For goodness sake, two draws in a row. We can't handle this. It's the worst form of the season. But, you know, it's I'm sure you don't want to say much about the referee, and we're going to speak about the game in a bit. But for Mr. McGlynn to walk away with a yellow card is quite something.
Indeed. Gordon, this is your first time on, so as we always do, who's your all-time sort of favourite Falkirk player outside the Holy Trinity and your first Bairns memory as well?
I probably started going to games late 60s. The first actual memory is, was it an Aberdeen League Cup game, 71. I think the crowd being so big that people climbed over the barriers and sat on the Ash track. I think it was a game we won, and then we played Hibs the following week. And I remember that because Ken Buchanan had just won the World Championship, and he came out at halftime to take the adulation of the crowd. So that's good. I had to go through Michael White's book, kind of using those reference points to actually pinpoint those exact matches. Because although my dad's still around, he suffers from dementia. These days, so I can't really remember very much about the kind of early days of football. And as for players, I mean, it kind of goes through the ages. You know, Tiger McLaughlin was a great player. Sammy himself, Richard Cadet, and right through to Will Walks. I think there's people from different eras that kind of stick out for you.
Brilliant. Did you manage to catch our Will Walks podcast a couple of weeks back?
I thought it was fantastic.
He's great, wasn't he?
He's a really, really great guy, yeah. Yeah, if only we could get a few more players that would play for a pound or for nothing, that would be great as well.
Always a director, Gordon, always a director. If anyone's listening to and wants to come and play Falkirk for free, Gordon and Keith are your man, everyone. Yeah.
And remember, we did get a verbal acceptance from him that he will come back.
Yeah.
I noticed.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, gents, I think this is a really silly question, but how's the season been for you?
Yeah, it's been fabulous, hasn't it? Do we want it to end? No, but we've got one more game to go. So exceeded our expectations, totally blew the win bonus budget. and we've got new heroes now, haven't we? It's fabulous.
We do.
I know. And just, I mean, it must be special because you guys have come in, you know, at, you know, the club's lowest time. And you've been in the boardroom and you've seen what's happened this season, you know, and it, you know, got John always came in and said it's a 2-year plan. So you must be delighted that he's pulled it off and, you know, he's been a man of his word and this has happened this season.
I think it was, if only it were that easy and you sit down and you find a great manager and he goes, well, it's a 2-year plan. And we go, right, okay, we'll give you 2 years then. I think, you know, after the Airdrie game, certainly the first game, you only had 50% of the fans calling for his head. You know, it takes a bit of nerves to stick with it and say, no, he's the right guy. We saw improvements. Yeah. You know, it was a dreadful match to be at. And it was even worse for us because we were right in amongst the Airdrie supporters.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were turning and looking at us.
Laughing.
You know, but yeah, laughing when goals 1, 2, and 3 went in. And then when 4 and 5 went in, you could actually see the sympathy in their face for us. They kind of stopped for smiling and felt sad for us. So, you know, in there. And I've never seen Jamie as depressed as he was at halftime. You know, we took all sharp objects away from him because he would have just split his wrists at that time. So, you know, I think that was a real, real low point. Although we could see the improvements, you know, finishing second in the league, getting to a cup semi-final. We saw the glimpses of how the team had started to perform and then, you know, some great, great signings, you know, during the summer. And to use one of their terms, we just kicked on from there. But it's also been nerve-wracking as a director as well. You sometimes looked at the ultras and thought, I wish I was across there just jumping up and down and not worrying about the financial implications of, you know, not making this league and, you know, how we were going to pay this and how we were going to do that. So, yeah, you have a completely different...
Yeah, we were in a privileged position with John because when we sat down before the January window, you know, a year or so ago, he laid out the weaknesses in the team and the areas he wanted to improve and how he wanted to improve them. And he was good to his word, pace, power, strength.
I mean, and credit, like you were saying, Gordon, at that Airdrie game, for you guys standing by it, because there was, you know, I think after a result like that, you're always going to, the manager will always come under the spotlight. But did you see, you know, like you were saying there, Keith, he came in January saying, this is what I need. And credit to you guys for backing him in the summer transfer window after, you know, having that result against Airdrie. I mean, in terms of backing him, you know, were you like, that's fine, just do what you have to do?
There was no doubt that we were going to back him over that 2-year period because there's other things you see behind the scene of, you know, galvanizing a team. You know, the dressing room was behind them. You know, the admin, the sales guys believed in what they were doing. And, you know, they were putting in a hell of a lot of work to get new sponsors, you know, day to day around the club. You know, he just energized the staff, so there was a kind of feeling within the club that maybe the fans don't get to see that we're heading in the right direction.
And I suppose for yourselves, you would have been sort of 6 months behind the reality as well, because he would have said to you, "I've got my eye on a Tom Lang, a Brad Spencer, Calvin Miller." Well, maybe not Calvin Miller, because obviously it's just came out in the wash this week that I think Brad Spencer had something to do with that, but. You would have likewise, I suppose, with next season, you have to be a few months ahead of the reality, don't you?
I try not to write the names down because I'll forget them and then I can't give away any secrets. So
Oh, that was my next question as well. I was like, great, so who have we got targeted for next season? Right, we'll scrap that one off then, Gordon. What have been the key moments for you in this season? I mean, as supporters, I think you can look back at certain points in the season. For me, potentially that goal Brad Spencer scored against Queen of the South, and you thought we could be onto something here. But was there any moments in the season that, you know, maybe from a boardroom perspective, that stood out for you?
I think there were moments in every game. You just saw the character in the team, the determination, the will to win, the backing from the support. Having the main stand singing was a pleasant surprise. We've stayed clear until relatively recently of injury as well and suspension. So it's been a thrilling season, and one a lot of us will never ever forget.
For me, one of the key points, I think, was the Dundee United Cup game. And I was sitting next to Jamie at the time, and, you know, scoring that early goal, we were playing really well. We were playing better than they were. And then to go 2-1 down and to have the fans backing, because they could see that we were the better team. You know, in previous seasons, they might have turned against them. The heads would have went down. We'd have lost it. But, you know, the backing of the fans kept our heads up. You know, and when we beat them 4-2, that's when you kind of start to think this season can be different. You know, they put all that fighting spirit.
That's true, Gordon, because Sam made a mistake in that game, if I remember rightly. Immediately, the guys behind him started singing his song.
Yep. Yeah.
It was fabulous. Absolutely wonderful.
I was about to say, not just the guys behind the wall, because remember, I was at row in front of you. You guys were shouting and singing his name as well.
I wouldn't subject him to a mass singing, I'll tell you.
I mean, you looked to that there then, Keith. How important have those ultras been? I mean, you guys obviously had meetings pre-season with the boys, you know, sanctioned this section. How important has that been, not just to the team and the management, but for you guys as well?
I think it's been a significant impact on not just the players and the management, but the rest of the ground and the opposition. And there were a few raised eyebrows and concerns about the drums, which have largely dissipated. Although there were a couple of complaints in the fan survey about the drums, but I just think these are the guys who are going to step up and are going to be supporting Falkirk for the rest of their lives. It's just fabulous. Absolutely brilliant.
I wonder if any of those fans that wrote to us saying, if you get drums, I'm handing my season ticket back, actually handed their season ticket back.
I bet you they didn't, Gordon. I bet you they didn't.
I'll hand up as well, Gordon. I wasn't a fan of the drums. I think my quote was, unless they get Dave Grohl playing the drums, you know. But, you know, to be fair to them, it's been used as and when, do you know what I mean? It's not been a constant, it's been used in as and when. And to be fair, they're pretty good drummers as well.
I've been impressed. Yeah, I've been impressed with it, because there was some guy who used to come with Airdrie or something like that that just beat his drum and you wanted to go and kind of wrap it around his head. you know, our guy's actually quite tuneful. The two guys that do it are quite tuneful.
I think a quick question to me, we came to January, lots of rumours around Callum Morrison. Was there any consideration at any point to sell him or move him on and try and make some money off him?
I guess, you know, everyone has a price point. You'd be crazy to turn down £500,000 or £1 million for somebody. Not that we were offered that, but so there was a price point there, but we weren't going to sacrifice the success of the season and sell him cheaply. That definitely wasn't going to happen.
So, no, Gordon, that's really good to hear. So, obviously, it was another bit of good news for the fans and the club, the fact that we've been able to tie him down. And for me, it showed another bit of intent that it's not just words that we've all heard in the last 20 years about, like, the next level or pushing on, that type of thing. It's actually an actual statement that we're talking about the Premiership, the goal of being in the Premiership in the next year or two. That for me was a huge thing to say. Actually, that is the plan. We're going for it.
Yeah, and a lot of that doesn't kind of rest with the board. You know, we keep talking about we just sit in the reflected glory of the team. You know, it really is about John. John's the nucleus of this. people want to come, you know, and work for him. And if I remember back to when he first came, there were a number of players that we kind of hoped might leave at the time, the kind of remnants of the prior team. Yeah. That we thought, oh, when John comes, they'll just go and they'll go someplace else. But, you know, to a man, they wanted to stay because they knew that John would make them better players, whether they ultimately left Falkirk or not. He has just such a good reputation, you know, as a coach that, yeah, you know, no one's going to leave this club a worse player having worked for him.
And I think that is definitely evident when you look at some of the players that were here before his tenure. They have improved massively. Like just before you came on, we were talking about the Falkirk Daft sort of player of the year. And there's guys in there, your Nesbitts, your Leo McCanns, guys who were here prior to John coming in. And they have massively kicked on.
Yeah. And we talked about the Brentford model, as it was with, you know, with Hartley when he was here. But, you know, John really has the skills to make a Brentford model work. You know, mm-hmm. and you identify those players who kind of maybe just haven't shown what they're capable of, you know, coming working with John, turning them into better players, and then, you know, hopefully selling them on as well.
I mean, that'll be really important, I'm guessing. That's the next stage, because we've got now sellable assets with the contracts getting handed out to the likes of Callum Morrison and Leon and Hendo, and all these boys now are now effectively sellable assets to the club. Obviously, money-wise, you're having a great commercial season, and that obviously goes hand in hand with winning. You know, merch is flying out the door. Everyone's snapping up tops left, right, and centre. You know, it's all been great. We've seen a massive upsurge in the Falkirk Supporters Society. How important has that been, and how important will be to that building to next season?
It's absolutely essential. We actually budgeted to win the league, and we budgeted for an increase in crowd sizes. So while we're relieved that the materialised, it's not all automatic improvements, because we'd already assumed and given that money to John to spend. So the uplift in the Supporters Society membership towards the end of the year and before the transfer window allowed us to go into the transfer window and make some very important signings that have made a real difference to us, particularly in the last quarter. So I think the Supporters Society and all the commercial income and Ross always being in hospitality, all those important things have helped project, you know, propel us to where we are. I mean, I can't remember maybe the Hoostie playoff season. It's been a long time to see the whole stadium as united and as, you know, thrilled and proud to be Falkirk supporters as it has been this season. So don't underestimate what... one thing I should also add is that the Supporters Society early in the year allowed us to replace the pitch. We got a grant for half, and their loan from the government allowed us to replace the pitch. First stage of the floodlights. The improved surface attracts players and retain players as well. So we've got a beautiful surface now, and I'm pretty sure that's helped the way we play as well.
And just to add to what Keith said is, you know, budgeting for winning the league and a few other things, it's a measured amount of risk that we take. We're not going to gamble away having, you know, just put this club into fan ownership. You know, we're not going to, you know, gamble it away on, you know, on cheap dreams. So you know that we're looking after things when John keeps dropping the word budgets into his post-match press conferences, because you know he's under a bit of pressure and would like more money to spend, and we've obviously said no. So
yeah, I mean, John's incredibly ambitious. I mean, the other point to take from that is the last four clubs that have got promoted from the Championship into the Premiership lost over £2 million a year. We're not going to be spending or speculating on that. We just can't afford to do that.
No, and the club has to come first, doesn't it?
It's sustainable.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Good thing, I mean, we've got the nucleus, I guess, of a side which, you know, by man's probably a Championship team already there. And with that team spirit, with potentially, fingers crossed, invincibility behind it, you know, that's Keith's reaching out to touch every bit of wood around them, but yeah, you know, you're going to have that going up into the Championship. I guess I'm going to ask the question, and I don't think you'll answer it, but there we go. Let's talk about the people that haven't got a deal yet and who are obviously looking to get in the door. Finn Yates, Dylan Tate and Ethan Ross are the three probably that are doing. Not shaking the heads.
We can't talk about that. And it's sometimes things move so quickly. We had a board meeting in the window where John and Paul agreed on a target, went downstairs, came back 2 minutes later with a completely different target because that one had disappeared.
Mm.
It's until it's over the line, we can't say.
Yeah.
It's sorry.
It makes sense that you can't comment. The only thing, if I may ask, and indulge me for a second, how long did you laugh when the email or the phone call from Hamilton came in about signing Aguiman, Morrison and Miller?
I've no idea what that was about. But what I would say is that when we went through to Hamilton a couple of weeks ago, their board were absolute class. They nice. Couldn't have been more gracious. They couldn't have been more appreciative of the football we played. They were absolute class.
That's good to hear.
So they were at it in January is what we're saying, pretty much.
Well, I don't know, John. It was a strange episode.
Very bizarre. Very, very bizarre. We talked about the commercial aspect. You know, obviously with the club doing so well, obviously we're getting a lot more media attention. Has there been any investment opportunities, anyone sort of come in and said, well, we'd like to be involved in Falkirk? Because has there been, with success, like we say, the merch comes, people then go, oh, hold on a minute, that's a good opportunity. Has there been anything around that side of the business?
We've got that for probably the past two or three years. And it comes from, you know, strange places.
Yeah.
You know, Israel, Germany, Canada, America, Australia. And what we generally do is we'll sign an NDA and non-disclosure agreement, which is, you know, why we don't generally talk about who it is or what they're doing. And, you know, some of those conversations last half an hour or initial meeting, and we think, well, you know, we're not a really good fit. You know, some of them will last weeks, some of them will last months, and some of them just kind of sit in the background. You know, as a fan-owned club in a three-legged stool, we are aware of the benefits that external investment can bring. So we're open to talk to, you know, most people that want to talk to us.
Yeah, and it's our legal obligation as directors to listen to anybody who expresses an interest in investing in the club. And it's safe to say, though, that, and John, you kind of put your finger on it, that as we progress up the league, if we were going to attract investment, we would get a better caliber if we're at the top of the Championship, or even potentially, touch wood, in the Premiership. So we're aware that there are challenges, and the fan owner model is ticking along, but perhaps hasn't gone as quickly as we'd hoped. But you know, there's encouraging signs. But I think as we progress in the Championship, we would get better value for investment there than we would in League One.
I mean, certainly, you know, you'd be a fool if you were a business or looking to invest in a football club and didn't see the potential at Falkirk with the crowds we're getting in League One, with, you know, what the club has done this season. I guess, though, until this, you know, magic money bag comes from anywhere, it's all about the supporters. As we've went over the 25% this season, you know, it's all about the supporters now. Now, supporters have all, you've talked in the podcast about, you know, the well will run dry at some point. But is there anything more that the supporters can do to help out? Because, as you said, Keith, there's, you know, the teams are losing 2 million. Try to get promoted in the Championship. We're not going to do that because we wouldn't have a club to support. But what more can the supporters do to help? Is it just a case of trying to get more money in through the Falkirk Support Society, buying more merch? What more can we do?
Well, I mean, the fans have been incredibly loyal, and, you know, and you yourself said, John, bought shirts by the thousands. I think we just keep doing what we're doing. And if you can afford to join the Falkirk Support Society, if you can afford the top-up in the season ticket, please do. If you can afford to be an Academy patron, please do. I mean, I was amused at your spat or joking spat a couple of weeks ago. What was it about the? I can't remember the ins and outs of it. And we see that dynamic a lot with our support, and we're very conscious of the fact that, oh, you're always asking for money, but we could easily have a break-even budget, but we wouldn't have much of a football team.
Yeah.
So if we want this club to achieve its potential and then be in a position where we're getting a proper share of the prize money, we need to, and rebuild the academy, we need to keep on digging in as deeply as we can, and we can afford, or we feel comfortable. And if you don't want to do it and you don't feel it's for you, then that's entirely up to you. And I understand that. Encouragingly, though, in the fan survey, there wasn't a lot of concern or criticism, constructive or otherwise, about the fan ownership model. It's smattering here or there, but nothing substantial.
And I think what we're trying to do is be open and transparent with the fans. Give you information for you to make a decision, because you don't want us to say, you know, in April next year, or if you're only giving us X amount, we could have, you know, three players and we could have won a championship. Is, you know, that we're telling you that now, and you can make an informed decision.
Do you know, Gordon, that's what we obviously talked about quite heavily a couple of weeks back. It's so much so that a couple of people yesterday at the game says, "Are you and John talking again?" I was like, "We're never." I said, "Listen, do you know the best thing about all four of us on this call? We just want what's best for the club, don't we? And we want to kick on. We want to be playing in the Premier League. Blah blah blah." But I think what was encouraging for me was, like, one of the things that John and I talked about was the season tickets and how good our season ticket price, even at the freeze amount, will be a fantastic price in the Championship. But even with the top-up amount, it's there or thereabouts at Championship level. So fingers crossed, as you've said, if everyone who can and is able does that, what a difference it could make to the playing budget next year.
Yeah. And we wanted to maintain our integrity. We did it last year. We, you know, fans hadn't got an awful lot of good value for money, you know, during the three seasons. And it was an encouragement for people to sign up to this season when it had ended badly. So, but it was important to us that we honoured that. But again, to give people the opportunity, those that can afford it wanted to top up. So, you know, we're trying to give people as many opportunities as they can to give us money.
And it will go straight into John's budget.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah,
he's listening to
this.
he may or may not, or his family may or may not, and he's coming on. Well, actually, he's coming on the podcast this week, so I'm sure the word budget may well come up.
Yeah. We'll get the dirt from John on all that.
we should run a sweepstake to say how long it is before he mentions the word budget.
That's a good show. That's a good show.
Well, depending on when the lads ask the question, Gordon.
I get, well, yeah, they'd be inside knowledge in that one.
Gents, well, listen, and we'll let you crack on. I know you are very busy. So thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, thank you guys for this season. You know, we thank the team, we thank the management, but it wouldn't be happening without you guys doing the business up in the boardroom. So thank you very much. It's been a season to remember. And I'm no doubt we'll see you on the pitch at full time on Saturday when we become invincible.
No director would ever go on a pitch for Invasion.
No, Keith, no
well,
director.
Well.
No, I said.
Yeah, okay, no. Hands up. I was the one on the field at Montrose. It was absolutely wonderful.
It was so nice
to just stand on the terrace and terracing and watch a game of football. And boy, did we play well there. Oh.
No, it was incredible. I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast. It was just such an outpouring of emotion, seeing brothers and fathers and sons, you know, grandfathers and grandsons and sisters and brothers. It was just a beautiful outpouring of all that, this emotion on the pitch. It was beautiful, and it was great to see you there as well, Keith.
And we'd just like to say as well, and Keith said it earlier, just to thank the fans. You know, those that turn up home and away, those that turn up occasionally, you're all part of the Falkirk family. It's a team, as John says about his awards, it's a team effort. And, you know, we couldn't do it with everyone that's part of the team.
Listen, thanks for your time, gents. Well, hopefully, I think, Keith, you're coming to Behind the Wall on Friday.
I am. I'm desperately.
Talk, I hope.
Yeah, I don't know which one to wear. It's a bit of a stress, that one.
Right, okay.
Could you not
could you not ask the kit man? You may as well see if you can get Tom Lang's or Big Cole's shirts while they're not playing anyway. Just wear one of theirs.
No, I've got one. I've got a retro. It's very retro, but don't worry. It's just which one it's going to be. So
fantastic. Brilliant. Well, we'll see you down there on Friday and everyone can approach Keith and ask about the budget for next season. Right. Gents, sorry, thank you so
internet
much.
Problems, boys. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. So you go, Ross. That's the director's great to speak to Keith and Gordon. There was lots of questions I had written down which didn't get to, but we'll hopefully get them back on again and get your questions.
You ask them after about 8 pints on Friday night.
That's a very good question. You can do that at behind the wall. But let's get into the game and let's speak to, you know, where we're kind of the ant and deck of Falkirk. We've got the Dick and Dom of Falkirk. So it's going to be ant and deck versus Dick and Dom. As we welcome the Falkirk commentary team, it's Sean Elderbrand and Josh Heggie. How are you doing, boys?
Very well. How are you?
All good. Not too bad.
Very good. Bit fresh back from Annan. How was the trip for you guys?
Yeah, Josh, you could take a lead on that one because
Sean wasn't there yesterday.
That wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, Sean was on other duties, unfortunately. But I mean, I had the time of my life. I was on comms with Big Cole Donaldson, so that was an experience.
I bet you. Well, the quote to us at the recognition white was, "I'm on my holidays." So it was, and I heard his dulcet tones on the commentary. He did a good job, Josh.
Yeah, no, he did well. He did well. It was quite interesting, the build up, kind of getting his insight and basically him explaining how to handle Tommy Goss.
Oh, jeez. I mean, you felt sorry, obviously, when Hendel went off and Leighton got put into centre half. Thought, Jesus, that's a hard task going against Tommy Goss, the man mountain, which is Tommy Goss. But we got there in the end. We'll get into the game in just a minute. But I need to ask you this question, boys, because we have got our Falkirk Dad Player of the Year and Goal of the Year shortlist, and I'm going to throw these names and goals at you, and you can give me one answer and one answer only. So, Goal of the Season, the nominations are Cal Morrison against Montrose, Ethan Ross against Fermartin, Cole Donaldson against Alloa, Tom Lang against Annan. Sean, who is it for you?
I'm probably just... it's basic answer, but it's going to be Cal Morrison against Montrose. They were all pretty ridiculous strikes, but I think that one edges it just because it was a last-minute winner and it kind of set the tone for what has been a phenomenal season.
Yeah, and for you, Josh?
I'm going to zig when everyone's zagging. I'm going to go Cole Donaldson against Alloa. I just, the way it started well out the post and just served back in, I thought it was a stunning goal.
That was the one I voted for as well, Josh. It was just from a centre half. That was just ridiculous, wasn't it?
And obviously, my vote was for Tom Langs against Annan, but you know, that goes without saying.
You'd vote for Tom if it was a 6-yard.
The one he scored against Kelty, that was a better. I'm surprised that's not being considered. Right then, Player of the Year then. Four names we've got here: Callum Morrison, Cole Donaldson, Brad Spencer, Liam Henderson, as voted for by the Falkirk Daft listeners. Sean, come to you first.
Again, very basic, but Cal Morrison, just his contribution over the course of the season, like, I don't think you can really argue. I think everyone's been phenomenal, from everyone who's played their part has been absolutely excellent. You could go for Cole, you could go for Brad, you could go for Hendo, you could go for pretty much anyone, and it would be a fair answer. But I think Cal Morrison is a shoe-in for pretty much every Player of the Year award, and I think he'll get the League One as well, the PFA one, and I think he'll probably get just the SPFL one too as well.
Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, got to be Cal. He's just a big game player. Look at even like the cup match against Dundee United, he was the best player in the pitch. Just countless times, the 8 goals in March, just to really, that was the crucial point in the season, and just him taking just the reins and just banging in the goals and securing that title.
Yeah, no, it's been a phenomenal, you know, like we said earlier on, like that's a short list of four, when easily you could have had Aidan Nesbitt on that list, Tom Lang on that list, Leon McCann on that list, Van Yeats on that list. It's just been unbelievable, and as we saw on the PFA awards, 10 out of 11 Falkirk players on that side, which is mental.
Absolutely. Should have been 11. Should have been 11.
Justice for McKeever.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, let's get into the match then. I didn't make it down. Ross, you were there. Josh, you were there. Change in the side. Leighton Bisland came in. It must have been after our chat at the recognition night. He got in for Finn Yates. And Leon McCann, it was in for Cole Donaldson, obviously. So slightly different with Hendo and Mackie at the back. Bisland on the right and Leon McCann back at left back. Great to see a guard of honour for the team as well coming out. That's continued. And 800 Bairns turning up at the ground, Ross.
Yes, another brilliant away crowd. Most of them well oiled, as has been the norm. Oh, do you know, they're maybe a wee bit quieter yesterday, I thought. I don't know whether it's a lack of a roof at Annan, but I don't know if it was as noisy as it had been. Either that or all the boys and girls had peaked by about one in the afternoon from an early start. But yeah, another superb travelling support, massively.
Yeah, we came out the box pretty much flying, Josh.
Yeah, it was a really kind of fast start straight away, Falkirk in control. And I think they had a chance at McKeever. It was Calvin Miller down the left hand side. The first 50 minutes, he was electric, just had the beating of Galloway down that channel. And McKeever had a good header, just went over the bar. Had two corners, one after another. One, I think, came at the edge of the box. Spencer's shot was kind of tipped over the bar, and then the short corner where the clearance off the line. And then eventually we did take the lead about 50 minutes in through another corner.
Yeah, I mean, it has been, Sean, something we've really improved on this season is our set pieces. You know, and me and Josh have a laugh about the short corners because I pulled them out, but it has worked. That's been, I mean, I don't know how many goals and statistically we've scored from free kicks and corners this season, but there's been a lot, and we saw that in this game as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's the variation on the set pieces as well. It's, you mentioned the kind of short corners and whatnot. It's clearly something that John McGlynn and Paul Smith really work on the training ground. You know, different ones, short ones, varied ones. You know, they seem to have a kind of litany of different set pieces and an almost kind of NBA playbook type thing. You know, there's so many different combinations that you see on week to week, and so many of them have kind of came to fruition. Although the goal at the weekend, Henderson's goal, was just a really good delivery, and Hendo dropping his man and smashing it away.
I mean, look at the amount of goals that, I mean, the players like Hendo, Cole and Tom have all chipped in with this season. You know, it has been, like, that just shows you, you know, and I know, like, Cole's only got one header and the other two were absolute crackers of shots, but they have played their part, and I think you need every player in that team, you know, to have a season like we have to play their part in it. But, you know, and Hendo, I think, is on 8 now, is that right?
Josh, you maybe have the stats more up to date than me.
No, I don't have the stats in front of me, but yeah, he'll be chipping in a lot. I know they've certainly scored against Cove, he scored against Kelty. I know he scored a couple of cup goals as well. He definitely got the winner against Ayr United at the start of the season.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think last year he was a bit frustrated. He was getting chances, and this season he's really just picked on and managed to add finishing on to his game.
I've just checked. Big Liam's on 7 goals for the league and League Cup. So that obviously doesn't include anything in the Scottish Cup, what have you. But yes, 7 between the
league. He got that one against Bonnyrigg as well. So that there must be 8. Yeah, well done, Hendo. Absolutely tremendous stuff. And it has been outstanding. Whether he's been at centre-half or central midfield, it's been unbelievable. You know, we went on, and boys, and it seemed like, I think John McGlynn alluded to it in his interviews, that first half, we should have had them dead and buried, Ross.
Yeah, massively. As Josh said, like, even before we scored, we had 4 absolutely brilliant chances that we probably should have done, like, better with. Obviously, Josh, you mentioned McKeever's head. I think it was flagged offside. But the other ones, chances that we've taken before. But I'm looking at the highlights back again, because I don't know if for the boys, if you've ever stood in the Annan away end, unless you're standing at the front, you see very little of the rest of the game. So, and I'm 5'10", so I see almost nothing if I'm standing behind someone. But yeah, so the highlights just showed we could have been, as John McGlynn said, like 10, we could have scored 10 goals in that first half.
Yeah, there was a lot of chances. You know, Cal was, I think he was getting a wee bit frustrated because he had two kind of great chances on his left foot. One was a little bit behind him, and the other, I think he just snatched at it.
Yeah, it was back, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, there was just didn't quite get it, kind of challenging the goalie. And it was a shame because he did really well getting in the position for the first shot, which kind of did a bit of shimmy cut inside and just went back as he pulled the trigger.
I think one of the best shots for me in the first half was Dylan Tate's. And the keeper obviously got down really well and sort of palmed it round the post. But Dylan Tate's just got some engine on him, but some shot on him as well.
Just the pair of them yesterday, Spencer and Tate, they were absolutely everywhere, especially in that second half, just tracking back. Sometimes you're not sure they're like playing right back, left back at times. Just the pair of them yesterday were sensational, and we always highlight Nizzy and his work rate, but the pair of them yesterday were covered every blade of artificial turf.
You guys might have, we asked the directors about this, you guys might have more of an inside scoop. We obviously asked about Dylan Tate, Ethan Ross and Finney, so the kind of three out there that you'd still like to see at the club next season. Dylan made any inclinations to you that you'd like to stay?
I think he's pretty much said that he's really enjoyed his time at Falkirk, and I think I kind of overheard him having a conversation with someone basically saying it's not up to me, it's up to kind of the clubs to sort it out, but he's really enjoyed his time, and I think just...
Yeah, for staying.
He seems to be really enjoying his football, you know, he's kind of rediscovered his love for the game after, you know, having a fairly decent period of not playing a consistent run of games, you know, over a couple of years, and obviously been back under... John McGlynn and Paul Smith. He's an integral part of a title winning team, and a team who could well be a team which goes down in history as well. So I think that he probably would quite like to stay on, but obviously it just depends if the clubs can agree something. But yeah, I'm sure every Falkirk fan would agree that it'd be absolutely magic to have him back with us next season.
Absolutely unbelievable. So, you know, we talked about the chances there that happened in the first half, but a bit of kicking the balls. The Annan penalty comes right on the stroke of half time. It looked like, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there was much complaints about it, but certainly the first one looked like a shove in the box. I think it was it Bisland pushed over the Annan player, and it did look like a penalty to me. What did you guys make of it?
The only complaint from our point of view was we didn't think it was a free kick to begin with. It was the goal kick got sent forward. Sean Mackey goes up and heads it clear, and the referee blows for a foul 10 yards further back. Yeah. Henderson supposedly bringing down Tommy Goss off the ball. Cole especially wasn't happy about that, but anything a defender was doing and getting given against him, Cole wasn't happy with. But that was particularly soft. I know to then give away a penalty from that felt a little bit hard done by.
And it's a shame to mention the ref because he had such a good game otherwise. Oh no, wait,
a local lad, I believe, as well.
Yeah,
that's another Ross's. Yeah, Ross has got a theory that the local lads who are referees overcompensate at Falkirk games.
That's just the way it looks. I'm sure if you asked them, that would be, no, of course we don't. But that's certainly the way it looks for me. I know we could spend 25 minutes or the next 25 minutes talking about the ref, but in that scenario, I think it was a penalty. You're right, Josh, in terms of the build-up, questionable. Hogarth was really unlucky, though, with the pen. I thought he was gonna get his hand to it, to be fair.
Yeah, he guessed the right way. He got down really quickly and, you know, it just clips off the post and very almost didn't go in. It almost came back out again. But when you hit the post like that and goes in, you're no keeper saving that.
Yeah,
fair enough. Fair play to Willie Gibson. It was a very well taken penalty, but Hogarth did go the right way, and Nicky's will be feeling lucky, especially we'll get into the second one in a minute. So half time comes round, but we come out the box in the second half and we don't have to wait long for a goal. Ross, big Hendo at it again, but stretch for it to poke home after a wee bit of, you know, after the keeper had saved well from McKeever.
Yeah.
But in the mean in the midst of doing that stretch, he's basically done his hamstring, gutted.
Yeah, no, absolutely gutted. We were standing beside his dad, Willie, at the game yesterday, and he was as soon as it happened, he was like, "Yeah, it looks that'll be him now." And unfortunately, that is how it panned out. As you said, though, John, in the build up to it, brilliant again by Morrison, getting a fantastic crossover. McKeever really unlucky because the keeper saved it really, really well with his feet, just as you said. But big Hendo there, they smash it home. But yeah, unfortunately, he has, by the sounds of it, overstretched in doing so. And he's going to be a big miss next week. Thankfully, I'm sure he'll be back for the importance stuff in terms of June training coming back and stuff, but he'll be gutted because next week every player wants to play.
He'll be there doing the dance, so I'm still sure he'll, even though his hammy's gone, he'll still manage to do the dance in front of the South Stand on Saturday.
Maybe he's just wanted to get a look at behind the wall on Friday night as well.
Maybe that's it. How big a loss is Henderson in for the Alloa game, Sean? I mean, we saw that obviously he reshuffled and put Leighton Bisland at the back, who we spoke to the recognition night. He said he could play there, but against the man mountain Tommy Goss, slightly worrying. I mean, how big a miss will he be when you could be facing the likes of Connor Salmon come Saturday?
Yeah, I think he'll be a big miss. Of course, he's one of our most important players, whether he plays in midfield or in defence. The one thing that might go in Leighton/Sean Mackey's favour this weekend is I don't think they'll be playing against as big a physical striker. I think it'll probably be more likely Bobby Wales, who's a very, very good player, but he's not that same kind of big bruiser as a Connor Salmon or a Tommy Goss. Although in saying that, Andy Graham has probably got one eye on the playoffs.
So you
never know. It may be a case of Big Sam will get a run out back at his old stuff.
That was my thinking, because I think this weekend coming up, that Bobby Wales, maybe Taylor Stephen, boys like that might get rested for those playoff games, which then leads to me think Connor Salmon will be playing, and in which case they will target that defence with Leighton Bisland. And we don't have, I mean, look at the three players without that physicality. You know, we talked about the goals earlier on, Cole Donaldson, Tom Lang and Hendel. That's our three big bruisers there, and they're all out now. So we'd think Andy Graham might take a look at that and go, well, this is a game that's probably made for the likes of Connor Salmon.
Yeah, quite possibly. Like I say, I think it's going to be a tough ask for any kind of makeup of the defence. Just the fact that we don't have like an out and out centre back. Obviously, Sean Mackey's played there in recent weeks and he's been excellent, you know. But it's still, these left backs has more natural birth, and Leighton Bisland's obviously more naturally a right back. I seen chat on Twitter about whether there would be a possibility to recall Logan Sinclair because he's not playing within the SPFL, but I've got no idea whether that is the case or not. I'm just repeating what I've seen on social media. It may be something that's possible, or it may
not. Sean, the other option, and it might be a bit of a wacky one considering I don't think he's ever played there for us, but Stephen McGinn, could he fall back into the centre back position?
Potentially. There's also the really wacky option of putting Ross McKeever back there, because I think
I've heard this
So I really don't know. I think it'll probably most likely be Mackie and Bisland, just because they're natural defenders. But I think in general, like I say, it'll probably be a tough task for them because it's not their natural position. But I think we should have more than enough next weekend to do the job. I think, if anything,
as long as we score more goals at the other end, which we know we're more than capable of doing, you know.
Sure,
I mean, we went 3-1 up even with the makeshift defence. Nesbitt got on in the act as well, and again he's had done some great numbers this season. Morrison again, McKeever will be gutted he hasn't scored in this game, as will Morrison, because they both had lots of chances. But obviously McKeever has a shot, Nesbitt's there just to tap it in, and you know, again, I think since the turn of the year, his run has been phenomenal.
We obviously talk about his work rate all the time, but he has popped up with some big goals. Obviously the screamer down at Queen of the South, the obvious one, but yesterday he wasn't just in the right place at the right time. He knew that McKeever would try and on the back of not getting a shot away, he knew McKeever would try and play it back. And if you think about Nesbitt, even the goal at Montrose, not too dissimilar. He was just in the right place at the right time because he knew there'd be a player there to kind of cut it back to him and slide it home. So, no, I think it just typifies Josh kind of how he is just now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it wasn't actually, it looks an easy finish, but there was quite a lot to do. There was the goalie, Lemon, actually thought he had a really good game. He's conceded three, but yeah. I think he's done really well initially on McKeever to narrow the angle. McKeever plays it back and he has to bend it round two players and get it over the goalie. I think he just finds that gap perfectly. And yeah, he scored so many crucial goals. I know I think he scored one. It was like what was the one? It was like right after half time. I think it was Queen of South at home.
Yes. Yeah.
He scored that goal and that was, you know, so crucial to get, you know, points at that time and open that gap up. So he's obviously he scored the one against Kelty as well. I think it was 4-5-1 and that was kind of his first goal for outside the box in a while. And now he's got those goals. The confidence is there. He's taking on those strikes. He had an effort as well outside the box that the keeper saved. But having the confidence that he's got these goals under his belt, he's taking those shots on more, which, you know, I'm loving that.
Yeah. Do you think so? We went 3-1, you think you're up the road at that point, and just see this out, Falkirk, brilliant, up the road with the 3 points. But Annan get themselves back into it. Do you think it was it was a penalty, right? You guys all know better than me. What was that given for, Josh? Or Ross, could you see over someone's head to see what it was given for?
No, if I'm being honest, the clearer view was on the highlights. But even then, when you watch it, Josh, you probably had the benefit of watching it a few times. It looks like there's just a tangle of players, but does it look purposeful? I'm not convinced.
Right, there's two potential fouls in here. Both I didn't see. It was on the bus back. Ned showed us, he's got some photos. The first potential incident is Gary Oliver, I think, brought to the ground and he potentially might have brought a player down with him. But the one that's kind of more obvious is Finn Yates has thrown himself at the ball to try and just block it. Mm-hmm. The shot goes away and then his boot basically goes into the striker's ankle just after the shot's gone away.
Ah, right.
It's
okay.
One of those ones where it happens quite a lot and nothing happens, but that it's right underneath the referee's nose and he's seen it. If you see the still image, you're not complaining about it.
No.
But it just depends on the context, because I hate making decisions on still images. But,
yeah. So it looks like, judging by the fact that it happened in front of the referee, and we've seen photo evidence that probably was a penalty, Josh?
Yeah, I was raging at the time, but yeah. Having seen it, I'm less raging.
Okay. Okay, that tells a story. But yeah, 3-2 goes in our penalty from Ollie Gibson. I've always said, why do keepers not just sometimes just stand in the middle? Because see, 9 times out of 10, they would save the... People go down the middle so many times. And see, if you just stood like that and not move, you'd save them. But I guess that would look silly if it went in either side of you. So yeah, 3-2. And then you kind of felt with the way the defence was made up, did it feel like Annan were going to score to you, Ross, or were you?
If I'm being honest, no. Even though they scored the penalty, there wasn't a lot then happened, because there was obviously about 12, 30 minutes between their getting their second goal and their third goal. But it's not as if they were like hammering us, trying to get an equaliser. That just wasn't how it was looking. Likewise, we just looked as if we were kind of shown up to try and get the 3 points to take it up the road, as you said. So when they did score, it felt like a bit of a shock, if I'm being really, really honest. And having watched it back, because again, our view wasn't great down the side, the terrace and at the side of the stand, it's obviously just a ball forward that was a hit and a hope. And unfortunately, their players read the bounce of the ball better than ours. And
Leighton Bisland kind of, you know, went past it. And, you know, again, he's not a centre-half, so he's just not read it well at all. And then, obviously, the man, Aidan Smith, managed to get in there and nip it for 3-3 and pretty much last minute, like they did up at our place. And, you know, like you said, though, before the game, but we did have, obviously, Captain Chaos. By the way, shout-out to Ian, who got a Captain Chaos T-shirt made up for Alfie Agyeman, presented to him at the recognition night. Hats off to you, sir. But Captain Chaos, again, had that 30-yard drive and it just comes off the post. But Yeah, it's, you know, if Sean, if I was to say 3-3 before the match, would you have taken it?
I mean, if it keeps the unbeaten run going, then yes. But I think in the context of the context of the match, it was a bit disappointing. But again, the title's sewn up. Like the main thing is just staying unbeaten till the end of the season by hook or by crook. And what, 35 down, one to go. Let's go to trophy day. Let's get 7,000 Bairns behind the boys and let's stick a bunch of goals past Alloa and then have a right good night after it.
Amen.
Amen, bro. We need to score lots of goals because I'm not confident that defence will keep a clean sheet on Saturday. So, right, Calvin Miller, Callum Morrison, Ross McKeever, Nane Nesbitt, it's all on you come Saturday. We're going to have lots of goals scored because it is going to be a bit of stress. Listen, guys, I won't hold you any longer. You guys can scarper off. Sean and Josh are both playing fives. We'll hear from the manager. But listen, boys, hats off to you. Thanks for coming on. You've been brilliant on comms this season. I keep hearing Sean's just Morrison over and over in my head. How many times Sean's went with that? It's been absolutely incredible. You've been both done a fantastic job this season in the absence of our very own Luby. So well done, boys, and long may we hear Morrison from here on in.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Nice to kind of catch up with you again as well.
Good man.
We'll hopefully see you on the pitch come Saturday. If you're allowed to leave your commentary berth. All right. Cheers. That's Josh and Sean, the infamous Falkirk commentary team there. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, a bit of a strange game out there today. I feel like we probably deserved the win, but here we are with a draw. Obviously, would have wanted to win, but again, the unbeaten streak continues and just one more to go.
Yeah, I thought we should have been well ahead at half time. I think the game should have been buried before half time. We had numerous chances. Right for the word go, basically. Right for the first minute, we created opportunities there. No clinical enough in front of goals, no showing the composure that we need to score goals. We scored for a set play, you know, it's a good ball in, and Liam Henderson's got himself a lot of space actually to finish it. Well done. And he gets a second goal. Unfortunately, he's got to come off right after that. We allow Aaron a lifeline. I've not seen it back yet. Penalty kick, I don't know if it was or it wasn't. A long free kick into the box. Should be a simple ball to defend. We don't defend it, and it causes a problem. And the ref's given a penalty, stuck it away. So it gave them a lifeline, really, because we were so dominant in the first half, all over them. And, we got a good start to the second half with Liam Henderson scoring, as I've said. So we've scored for that set play as well. We get ourselves 3-1 up, around about the hour mark. So a good move in which, you know, Aidan Nesbitt's eventually got the goal, which is 3-1 up. You know, should be in a comfortable position. But again, another set play goes in the box. A lot of bodies in there. Never really, again, I need to look back and see what was going on. But the referee gives another penalty. What can you do? Stick it away in the back in the game. And unfortunately, with the changes we had to make in defence and so many defenders out, you know, we should be able to clear the third goal. And we don't, and we get punished. So, yeah, the saving grace is that our unbeaten run continues. But we're disappointed to be 3-1 up here and no go away with all 3 points. Say, the number of goals we could have scored today, you know, that could have been double figures. And, yeah, we're walking away with 3-3.
Walking away with a 3-3, and my mate used to call a 3-3 a yogi, because it's Sri Sri. Used to call it a Shri Shri. So it's walking away with a yogi. John, not a happy man, I don't think.
No,
I mean, this is our worst form of the season. 2 draws and 5 goals conceded over the 2 matches. But, I mean, the fact that John himself's got a yellow card just tell you how bad the referee, because he's usually not bad. We obviously sit behind the dugout, Ross, and you don't really see him go for the officials much, but you can tell he was absolutely right with that performance.
I thought it was another really, really poor refereeing performance, John. Do you know what the issue is? I know we talk about, we were joking earlier on about local referees maybe overcompensating for, to show that they're not biased and stuff, things like that. I don't even think, I think they're just really poor refs. And I know it's a hard job. I wouldn't want to do it, right? But you, there should be standards. And the inconsistency of the referee again yesterday was so, so poor. Fouls that we were giving away, we were getting booked for, or we were getting tokens to, fouls that Annan were giving away were, or not, as the case may be, the play on, blah, blah, blah. It was just, honestly, it was so, so obvious that it almost felt like, do you know, it is going to end up a draw or an Annan win. It just felt like that the full day. And that's, and you know me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist whatsoever, but it just felt like that almost the entire game yesterday.
It's just poor refereeing. It's no conspiracy or accusations. It's just poor refereeing. We've seen it throughout our time in League One. I mean, hopefully the standard will be better in the Championship, though. We had Grant Irvin last week, and it wasn't even much better. I mean, we all accept that Coles was a sending off, but it wasn't great. He wasn't great at all last week, and it's just poor officiating. Right across Scotland, I think you see it as well. So it's not just us. Three-three. John obviously not happy. But again, the main focus has been, since we've won the title, is just keeping that unbeaten run. And we're being tested on that. You know, we're being like Santa. I think our friend Gary said it's been a bit like Santa, you know, red card, own goals, two penalties given away over the last week. But listen, as I said, you offered me a draw at the start of the game. This was going to be our hardest test. We talked about it on the podcast last week. This was going to be our hardest test, and we've got through it.
Yeah.
Our now, with the fact we don't have Hendo, that suddenly looks like a daunting prospect with that defence in place.
Based on what we saw in the second half yesterday, defensively, it could be a really tough afternoon. That said, there will be a full week between now and then of them preparing for it. Absolutely. Listen, I'm sure there'll be people online saying, oh, Bisland shouldn't be playing and stuff. He's not a centre back. See in the time, he penalty push aside, for the time that he played yesterday at right back, he was very, very competent. So I don't think it would be really harsh to spend too much focus on that. But he'll have a lot. So say it is him and Sean Mackey at centre halves. They'll be well drilled ahead of the week ahead. Sean alluded to it. There's a good chance that Alloa will play about with their starting lineup because they've got the playoffs on the Tuesday night. Well, our players are in Ibiza, I believe. I think they fly out on Monday, so they'll be on their jollies. Alloa will have one eye on Tuesday night. I have no doubts. I think we will win on Saturday because we will want to just see this over the line. And the fact that we have got through these games, though, especially the last two, with a draw, and we've had sendings off, we've had penalties against us, we've had refs that have just been some insane performances. The fact that we've got through it relatively unscathed is massive.
35-0. Let's get your views on the match. Paul kicks us off by saying, hope Hendo's all right. Him going off was a big blow. Cruising after his two goals, having to shuffle the defence again was a big problem. We're running out of options now. We are indeed.
Yeah, we are. Ultras 1876, it doesn't matter how much is thrown at this team by the officials and the opposition, champions always rise above it, and they do what they do. Another result against the odds, the navy blue steamroller trundles on. Hashtag justice for McKeever.
Keep that hashtag going. Laura, with one game to go, I don't care how we do it. Not the best Saturday we've had, but survived to hopefully see the season out undefeated. Hashtag invincibles.
Yeah, we're starting to get a few hashtags sent to us.
Yeah.
Jim says, inexplicable substitutions by McGlynn. Cruising to a win at 3-1, he then takes off our three best players for no reason. Annan couldn't believe their luck, and we end up biting our nails. However, well done to the team. A fantastic achievement to go undefeated away from home all season.
Do you think that upset the system then, with Morrison, Nesbitt and Miller all going off? Ross, obviously we brought on Ethan Ross, Captain Chaos, Mr. Argument, and Gary Oliver. But do you think that might have
I genuinely no, not for me. If there was a defensive frailty, there was going to be a defensive frailty. It wasn't to do with the attack. And if anything, we created a ton of chances when the boys came on as well. Like Alfie had a couple of chances. Ethan Ross was getting stuck in amongst it as well. Gary Oliver was doing what Gary Oliver does and comes in and the sort of Nesbitt role and sees him, puts himself about. So no, not for me. I must admit, I don't think the subs were the reason that we dropped a couple of points.
Yeah, and Bob says that referee was unbelievable. Still having a pop at McGuinn after the final whistle. Tommy Goss could be a good player, but he needs to learn not to lead with his elbows. How he got away with so many, I'll never know. Still unbeaten, though. Bring on trophy day, says Bob.
Indeed. Grant says, I thought we played well. The biggest frustration yesterday was trying to fathom the numerous decisions that went against us. Before the game, however, I would have taken a draw all day long. On to next week for a party with the champions and hopefully league invincibles.
Oh, keep saying it. We keep saying it. And finally, Alan comes in with, what a team, what a season. Want to go? Come on, the Bairns. Yes, let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Right, Ross. I wasn't there, so you're going to have to give the Falkirk Daft Rated and the Falkirk Dafty of the Week. Let's kick off with the Daft Rated.
Big Hendo has to be. He played very, very well, two goals aside. And you know, there was a moment in the first half where a really good cross came over from Annan. And whilst Hendo didn't win the header, he put big Tommy Goss off enough that his header then didn't trouble Nicky in goals. So for that, plus his two goals, Big Hendo.
There we go. And your Falkirk Dafty?
I hate to say it because we had such a lovely time with him during the week, but I think when you watch, and it is purely based on the highlights back, it is a penalty. And there's a two-handed push, unfortunately, that's given away the penalty. And then the third goal has been because of a mistake at the back again. So unfortunately, it's going to be late.
Leighton, giving it to Leighton after we spent a lovely time with his company. Poor Leighton.
Can't say anything bad about the guy, but he was at the wrong place at the wrong time a couple of times yesterday. Not his doing, I might add. He shouldn't have been at centre back but then with the injuries, you can't allow for them, can you? So sad to say, but I think it's going to have to be Leighton.
I was speaking to Leighton, and I was like, "What are you drinking?" It's like Disaronno and Coke. He was putting me on to Disaronno and Coke, so he said it tastes like Dr. Pepper. So I'll try that on Friday. But that's a shame for Leighton. But yeah, he's, like you say, we've talked about the options about Ross McKeever moving to centre half, but I suspect he'll be Leighton. He'll be playing there next.
Leighton will be well drilled. If it is him, yeah. If Sean Mackey, yeah. He will be well drilled. So yeah, listen, there's nothing to suggest he's a defender. And do you know what? The times that he's played for us this year, he's done well. So let's hope for a clean sheet on Saturday.
Cool. Right, listen, one more show to go. But we've got our pundits for next week. But if you want to come on next season, we'll be rolling on next season. Maybe some special shows across the summer. Keep your ears out for those. But if you want to do that, you can email us, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook. And that's all you have to do.
This is Falkirk Daft.
One more to go, Ross. One more to go 36-0 and keep the streak alive. And that is against Alloa at the stadium next week. 7,000 Bairns hopefully going to be in the stands cheering on and watching us lift the League One trophy. The Wasps have got a good team. And you can we've talked about them before. Like, you thought when Andy Graham came in as manager, you thought, you know, they'll fall away. But they've got some very good players in that Alloa side, and sort of players that you go, I wouldn't mind them at Falkirk. I think in Taylor Stephen, they've brought out with our team one of the best wingers in the league. He's the only winger I've seen given Leon McCann a torrid time earlier on in the season. I mean, we've been, you know, it's been fairly, you know, in terms of what we've done against them, I think we've won all three games against them, haven't we? We've won the two at the Rex and the one at the stadium, so we've won all three games against Alloa. You know, we've not dropped any points to them.
And if anything, John, it's weirdly as good as they have been against other teams. Against us, we've been particularly potent against them. I think we scored, what was it, 5 against them in January. We scored 3 against them in October. We scored 4 against them in August last year. And I think we might have only conceded 1 goal in the 3 games as well. So we've been very, very tight. But where it's mattered, we've absolutely destroyed them up front. And I think we're going to have to do that again, because obviously we want to win the league. And we want to win the invincible tag. And probably we're going to need to do that by scoring a few goals on Saturday, especially if the defence is very different to what's faced them before. But I sound like a broken record. The only team that will cause us issues this year is ourselves. Otherwise, yeah, I think we'll be absolutely fine.
I think they've got, like I say, they've got some very good players on loan there. Bobby Wales, we've talked about, who's been banging in goals for them. I watched their game against Cove, which was on the telly the other week there. I was really impressed by him, really, really impressed. Young lad they've got on loan from St Mirren as well, Ethan Sutherland, a lot of big teams sniffing about him. Young 17-year-old left back, and as the aforementioned Taylor Stephen as well. You know, and you've got people like Skiko and all those boys that we know inside out that have done the job there for years. And like I said before, and we were talking about it, Connor Salmon. Now, if Andy Graham does want to rest players ahead of the playoff, he would be the likely candidate to come in and replace Bobby Wales. And he would fancy it against Leighton Bisland and Sean Mackey. He would fancy it. And, you know, we've got history with Big Connor. It would be interesting to see how we dealt with that, or if indeed John McGlynn might go, well, do you know what? We need something physical. We need some more physicality, and then potentially puts Ross McKeever in at centre half. Because as we spoke about, he did do the job there for Alwa last season.
Listen, nothing would shock me. The one thing we know of, as we've just spoken about, we've got players that can play in a multitude of positions. Obviously, we've never seen Ross there for ourselves, but he's done it for Alloa previously. We've got a player or two and that could come in for Ross if Ross was to step back. But as Sean said, I genuinely think it probably will be Leighton and Sean at centre halves. And listen, we're making out as if the two of them are like 5'4". I'm sure Sean Mackey and Leighton Bisland certainly Leighton's taller than me. I reckon he must be about 6 foot, and Sean, I think, must be about the same. So it's not as if they're 5'4". You know what I mean? They're gonna put a good account of themselves, and they will want to after how Saturday finished as well.
It's going to be a really tough game, but like you say, we're looking at that end of the park where, you know, we've got defensive problems. But what we're not looking at is the other top end of the park where we've got 4 players up at the top who have scored loads of goals. Brad Spencer's due another goal. He had a good shot yesterday, I noticed. But Brad Spencer is due another goal, I would say, as well. And then Dylan Tate, you've got another man there who can chip in with goals. So we've got goals right across the team. You know, we're still waiting for Leon McCann to score one that's not an own goal as well. So who knows, you might get that on Saturday. But, you know, it could end up something ridiculous. If you know, it could, like we've seen the last couple of matches, you know, when it went 2-2 and 3-3. And, you know, we've got goals right throughout the team. So it could be one of these mad matches that ends like 4-3 or something ridiculous, 4-4 or something.
We need 6 goals to get us to 100 goals.
Yeah.
So 6-5, would you take a 6-5 right here?
I will take a 6-5. What a game that would be to finish the season. 6-5. But I think there'll be a lot of goals in this game. And what do you think, Ross? What's your prediction?
I agree. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I don't think it'll be 6-5. I do think it'll be a high-scoring game, though. I'm going to go 4-2 to the Bairns. 4-2.
I'm in a similar vein. I think it'll be 3-2. I think it'll be 3-2. I think we'll want to win on trophy day in front of that crowd and, you know, wrap up the Invincible. After 2 terrible draws in our, you know, after this terrible run that we're on of 2 draws, we'll be looking to get a win, and especially at the stadium on the final day of the season. So I think it'll be 3-2. And I think Captain Chaos, Mr. Alfredo Aguirre, is going to come on and going to do an absolute... Hat-trick. Alfie hat-trick. But I think he might score the winner. I've got a little inkling that Alfie might come on off the bench and score the winner to make it 3-2. But we'll see how it goes. Last game of the season. You've not got a ticket. I'm sure you have if you're listening to this podcast. Get yourself down there. We'll see you on the pitch at full time. We'll see you in the pub beforehand. We'll see you in the pub after. And we'll probably see you at XOXO at 1 o'clock in the morning as well. Probably not, because we're far too old for that. But in fact, no, Ross, I want to say, actually, let's make this the mission for Saturday, that you turn up on the XOXO photo page. You know how they've always got the photos from the weekend. Yeah. I want to see you in an XOXO photo come Saturday.
Right, we'll try and make that happen.
Let's make that happen. So anyway, on to Awa and fingers crossed. That is it for a very packed edition of Falk at Daft. Thank you very much for listening. What sort of sound effect do we have here?
Have you got any songs?
We've got songs here. Yeah, I can do. Well, I can do.
Do we?
Man. Got lots of things like that.
Aberdeen.
You Warwick saying Aberdeen. Steve McLaren.
I sort of knew. When I came here and Champions League.
I don't know why we've got all this stuff at this time.
Why you would even need that, I'll never know.
Steve McLaren trying to do his Dutch accent. What are you talking about?
John, I don't know if this will go against like the YouTube rules and stuff, but maybe as a one-off we finish on like We Are the Champions or something like that. I don't know if you can...
That'll take the stream down. I've had an occurrence already this week with that, so where I tried to play a song and it basically ruined our podcast that I did. So we won't go for that. But I can't believe we've got to the end of the season.
I'm absolutely buzzing for this weekend. Like, I'm really...
I am already absolutely buzzing. We're partly at Ross's house before... We're all going around to Ross's wife and his kids are out, so we're all going to Ross's beforehand. He's going to be serving bacon rolls, rolls and sausage, and it's free beer as well. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, no, that's not happening either. However, Friday night will kick off behind the wall. It's going to be brilliant. It really is.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So if you've got your ticket, we'll see you down there. Carl Donaldson, Tom Lang going to come along. Sam McGivern, Chris McGill is going to be there helping us review the season as well. I hope you've asked them to come up and do that. That'd be great. And as Carl says, they're on their holidays, so I imagine there'll be a lot of drink involved. We'd love to see you down here in your retro top if you have got a ticket. It's going to be a great night, fingers crossed. I don't know how we're going to get 200 people in upstairs behind the wall, but Brian Flynn has assured me when Ash played there, he managed it then. So we're comparing ourselves to Ash.
Wow.
So looking forward to meeting you all if you're heading down on Friday night to Behind the Wall. And it'll be a great way to kick off Trophy Weekend as well. And hopefully Invincibles as well. Listen, if you don't already, leave a review, rate us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe the YouTube channel. Very different this week because I'm in the studio. You can get merch still as well. I know it's the end of the season, but maybe you want to get some Falkirk merch. I've got an idea if we do go on Invincible. I've got some merch ideas for that as well. But you can get stuff we've got already, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and get in touch with the show anytime. You can do that on john@falkirkdaft.co.uk, ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. If you want to be a sponsor, like our lovely people of football, Falkirk Football Fans and Training, Lava Cup, 25th of May, down at the stadium, be there. And all the links for that are below as well. But yeah, if you want to sponsor the show and get involved with the Discord chat, loads of chat happening in the Discord. I've read all sorts of rumours there. I don't know if people are just making it up, but apparently Michael McKenna of Arbroath is heading our way next season.
That is the strong rumour. Yesterday I had three or four people asking what's the chat on that, and I was like, don't know. But yeah, his name's getting bandied about quite heavily just now, so maybe that'll be the first one announced.
Get involved in the Discord chat if you've got any rumours. If you don't have Discord, it's just basically a chat room. Loads of Falkirk supporters in there. I had to ban a few people this week because they were just Annan supporters had invaded the chat room, so just kicking them out left, right and centre. I don't know why. But anyway, get involved in Discord. Links are below. Right. One more game.
Oh,
Come on.
One more game to become invincible. And hopefully we do it against Alloa next weekend. We'll be back no matter what for the last show, well, probably the last show of the season to talk about that and everything else that happened at the Behind the Wall night. We'll see you up the town on Saturday night, no matter what, anyway. And on Friday, it's going to be some weekend to be a Bairn, and I'm here for it. Ross, what do we say at the end of every podcast?
Expect unexpectedly.